Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports today on Sports Grid. Frank Mish, David Matic, and we got you here for the next hour till 1 o'clock Eastern, reviewing everything coming up in the world of fantasy sports. Big golf tournament, of course. We've got Jim Sannis coming your way. We'll take a look at the latest average draft position in fantasy baseball as some fantasy baseball drafts are underway as well. And David's no doubt ready for the NBA to come back tomorrow. So good afternoon, waiting on that. And of course, a big golf weekend as well. Some controversy, of course, off the course with Phil Mickelson, but excited for this tournament to come this weekend.
Yeah, you know, lots of the big guys are not playing this week. So it's the Honda Classic, and then we have the Puerto Rico Open next week. So this is sort of a built-in vacation for your John Rahms, your Justin Thomases of the world as they relocate their lives from California, where we spent the last 2 months of the golf season, and now everyone's going to head down to Florida. But I do find this Saudi Arabian tour proposition fairly interesting to see which guys, you know, are just saying, right, I get $30 million a year, all right, I'm out, thank you Jay Monahan for all your time, and which guys are saying, I would rather win a major championship than set up generational wealth. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, look, Phil Mickelson at the center of some controversy, definitely. Look, at this point, who knows which way he's going to go. He says he's going to take some time to step away. The Masters is right around the corner, by the way, so I can't imagine him missing that. But golf season is definitely underway, and some of the big majors are coming up soon. So let's get to our headlines here on the show. Everyone waiting at this point for Ben Simmons to make his debut for the Brooklyn Nets, and we could be headed toward that. We're sort of waiting here, and I know that they mentioned weeks with Ben Simmons. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 days, who knows, but that could be back soon. USFL had their draft yesterday. I don't know if you guys caught this at all. But some new quarterbacks basically are in the USFL. I got to be honest, had not heard of a ton of them. I did see Paxton Lynch's name, so of course I'm familiar with that busted draft pick from the Denver Broncos. Javon Carter expected to sign with the Bucks, so that's good news for them, getting some fortification. This is basically the counter to Dragic, it feels like, Dragic. And baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association meeting once again in Jupiter, Florida today, and they will meet today, and they will meet Thursday, and then hopefully by Friday we will have something. If not, MLB has this sort of imposed deadline day to start the season on time. I'm talking to some people thinking they're just going to blow right through that 28th, and then we'll go from there. But Davis, what's piquing your interest in the world of fantasy today?
I mean, look, you know, something you know about me is that I love these alternative football leagues. I was there for the XFL. I was watching the AAF. I'm into the USFL. I mean, I guarantee you I'm going to be watching it. I guarantee you. Now, we're probably not going to talk about it on the show, but I guarantee you I will be wedging in some storylines from the USFL. And, I thought the way that they did the dispersal draft for this league was pretty interesting. So instead of drafting a player, you got assigned, like, okay, this team gets to take the first quarterback, this team gets to take the first cornerback, et cetera, et cetera. And mm-hmm. I mean, there are guys that I know and recognize, you know, Kyle Slaughter, Minnesota Vikings quarterback, Shea Patterson is in there, the Michigan quarterback, Jordan Ta'amu spent the last two seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs and was in the XFL and all the wide receivers. I mean, some of the wide receivers were depth, you know, practice squad NFL guys. So I was paying attention to that. I know it's not a very popular storyline.
Yeah, well, I will say this. The only thing that could get me to that point would be if the baseball lockout ran through June or something insane. At that point, I would have to jump in and say the USFL is something that I'm worth considering. As we welcome in our radio audience here to Sports Grid, this is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Bish and Davis Maddock were reviewing some of our top stories, including, believe it or not, the headline of new quarterbacks in the USFL, another league that's out there, another league potentially with the chance to succeed, but unfortunately, in my opinion, another league that will fail, because they all do. I have good track record to prove that. As far as Ben Simmons is concerned, Davis, I guess this narrative that he was going to just be real, you know, back real quick with the Nets is sort of out the window now, and I guess we're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, we are going to have to wait a little bit longer. I mean, I think that this is one of the most fascinating NBA seasons in modern memory, because I don't really think there's a favorite. Honestly, I am in this draft called Omni Fantasy, where we select teams instead of players across, you know, like 14 different leagues, and we try to predict championships. And I just did my first round pick, and I was looking at the NBA odds this morning, and I was going, well, I don't really think the Suns should be favored. And I'm not certain that the Warriors should be favored either, with Draymond injured and Klay, you know, only playing every other night. And then should the Nets really be all the way up there with Kyrie maybe not being able to play in the home playoff games? And what if they're in the finals and they, you know, Patty Mills is playing 35 minutes a night in the finals, and the 76ers, I mean, who knows? The Bucks have been bad the last month of the season. I mean, not bad relative, but I mean, relative to their standards. And then, you know, who believes in the Suns? Like, I didn't believe in the Suns at all last year. They're a great regular season team. They're better than everyone right now. Chris Paul is out for a month and a half. So, I mean, just a fascinating NBA season unfolding in front of us right now.
Yeah, a lot of teams, I think, in the East have a shot. You mentioned Philadelphia, Milwaukee. Miami's odds are actually pretty good to win a championship, too. So it could be out of nowhere. At least Joel Embiid feels like his team's got a great chance to win the championship with James Harden added to the addition there. All right, Honda Classic is coming up this weekend. So up next, we're going to give you a little preview of that. Davis sat down with Jim Sannis. He will join us next here on the show. We'll go over some of the best options for you as to getting involved with the Honda Classic this weekend. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined in this segment by our friend Jim Sannis from Number Fire, as we are here to talk about the Honda Classic. It is the first event on the Florida swing of the PGA Tour. Unfortunately, you know, that does mean that some of our friends that we hold near and dear to our heart, they're going to hang out with their families this week. They're going to make their way to Florida very slowly. So not a particularly strong field event, which is the exact opposite of last week at the Genesis Invitational that honestly ended up having no drama. Joaquin Neiman just goes wire to wire. Those events where you don't have a bet on the winner and it's not even close, and that, you know, they fire back to back low 60s on Thursday and Friday. I can't say I watched a ton of the Genesis Invitational, as Neiman was not on my card, Jim.
Yeah, for me, like with a lot of NASCAR stuff, it's actually honestly better if like my outrights are dead right away, because like I can just sit back and enjoy. Like Sunday during the 500, like I had Kyle Busch and Christopher Bell. Like Kyle Busch couldn't lead because his car was banged up. Christopher Bell had been wrecked out. So like I just kind of got to enjoy the race, and like it's a little bit tilting for like the first 5 minutes once you realize you're kind of dead in the water. But then after that, I can kind of enjoy things. So I think that does help in some senses, but like I maybe that's just like a consolation. Me trying to talk myself into like, okay, whatever. I'm not actually mad. Don't tell the papers that I'm mad, effectively.
Yeah, please don't report that I'm actually mad. So this week, very interesting. We get off to the top of the field, and these events, the way they're priced on FanDuel, are always pretty interesting. So, you know, we don't have John Rahm, Justin Thomas, they're not here. But someone's got to be priced at 12,000, which Sungjae Im is this week. He is 14-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this event. And I think even at, you know, that high price, Sungjae is such a grinder. I mean, one of the things, you know, when you take Sungjae at these weak field events is unless he's hurt, he's grinding out your T20. I mean, you are going to get a T20 out of Sungjae, assuming he's not injured this week.
Yeah, and the good thing is he's so well-rounded that it kind of adds to that floor. It's not just the mentality, but also, like, it's a tough course, so I want guys who are pretty well-rounded, and it's hard to find guys as well-rounded as Sungjae Im for this event. So for a cash game, I would say you just go with Sungjae and build from there. He ranks 5th in strokes gained off the tee over the past 50 rounds, according to Fantasy National. He's 15th in approach. 7th around the green, he's a good Bermuda putter too. So, like, there are no real red flags in his profile. So for cash games, I would just say lock in Sungjae and go from there. I think for tournaments, then it's a different discussion because he's the betting favorite. He has the highest salary. Those things tend to correlate well to higher roster rates. And because he's not like necessarily like a massive, massive standout compared to Louis Westhuizen, guys like that, I think you have leeway to maybe deviate in tournaments. But for cash games, I would just say you lock in Sungjae and build from there. It's tournaments where you can maybe get a bit different there.
Yeah, so I have 6 guys highlighted here that I really like their FanDuel prices. Sungjae was the first one. You just alluded to the other one, which is Louis. You know, Louis, again, very similar. It's like if he's healthy, motivated, good to go this week, he probably is actually the best golfer in the field. It's just there's so much question every single week on his health. How, you know, does he really want to be there? Like we see this with these guys a lot of the time. Alex Noren, just another, he's just like a pretty much a world-class player, a guy who's hovered around the top 20 official world golf rankings through the majority of his career. Keith Mitchell, where it is definitely one of those things where you have to buy the putting splits, right? So if you're not a nerd like Jim and I, there's this theory in PGA DFS where some guys putt well in Bermuda, some guys don't. Keith Mitchell, all of his high finishes in his career have come on this Bermuda grass, and his first ever win actually came on this golf course several years ago. Mito Pereira at 9,900, and probably my favorite play is Mackenzie Hughes at 9,600. So those are my guys, Jim. You can give me any thoughts and then some of your favorite plays on FanDuel this week.
Yeah, we're aligned on Mackenzie Hughes and Alexander Noren specifically. I think that the key reasoning here is that when you look at Data Golf's numbers on, like, you know, which things matter most at a certain course, you can see that there is a slight de-emphasis on ball striking. So what I'm kind of looking for this week is trying to identify golfers who are good overall golfers who may not have, like, standout ball striking, which does lead me to, you know, prioritizing guys who are better at the short game, which is kind of counter to what I typically do for PGA DFS. That leads you to Mackenzie Hughes, leads you to Denny McCarthy, leads you to Alexander Noren, and you know, none of these guys are like bad ball strikers, especially like Noren. Like, he's pretty solid from a ball striking perspective. It's just not his strength. His strength is in his short game. So I think that to me, what I'm doing is bumping up those guys and saying, okay, these are good overall. There's good golfers. And if I can go to an event where their negatives are less pronounced than they would be elsewhere, less penalizing than they would be at most of the courses, I think that that's a good thing and a good spot where you want to buy in. So to me, I am very in line with you on Noren, very in line on Mackenzie Hughes. I'd add McCarthy myself as well, down to $9,400. Some other guys who I think are interesting for this week, in part due to that angle discussed, outside of Louis, you know, he's kind of just a good all-around golfer. I think Billy Horschel is intriguing to me. He checks in at 11-1 over on FanDuel. A really good putter, as we know. He can gain some strokes off the tee as well. The approach play has been kind of funky, but he's been finishing well despite that recently. So I think that Horschel, if you're looking up in that upper range, is someone I would go to at 11-1. The issue I have with him is he's 11-1, whereas Noren is 10-7. You got Mitchell at 10-4. Both those guys do save you quite a bit of salary. So if you want to go more balanced and avoid like the really rough range on FanDuel for this week, I think that they could stand out there. You go Sungjae at the top or Louis at the top, then jump down to a Noren or a Mitchell for your second guy. I think that could grade out well, and then allowing me to avoid the low 9,000 range, which outside of McCarthy and K.H. Lee is, I think, pretty bad for this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a very good point, which is that in these events where there's not a ton of pedigree. The guys who are 100-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook are basically the same guys as the 200-1 guys, and that's highlighted. You know, if you use the data golf projections that we have over on Daily Roto, you're going to see guys like Vincent Whaley, Robert Streb, like guys who you definitely would not be playing these guys at the Genesis Invitational or Doral or, you know, a strong field tournament. But I think, you know, there are probably some guys at in the 7,000 range, you know, JJ Spahn, Anir Bonlahiri, who you could throw some darts at in tournaments this week. Now, you know, you're not going to be playing those guys in cash or even single entry or three max, but definitely some MME darts to throw.
Yeah, I think the other guy who I would consider for that is Patrick Rogers, $8,300. He's someone who, again, the approach play is not great. And I typically just sell out for approach play, but Rogers can gain strokes off the tee. He can gain around the green. He can gain on the greens as well. So he's $8,300. And if you jump down to Rogers for one of your slots, you can kind of, you know, get back up to the Mackenzie Hughes range. Ian Poulter's in that range too. I don't mind him. So I think that kind of using one guy like Rogers in order to give yourself more leverage to get back into the high 9,000 range, I think that that's a viable route for me this week.
Yep, and we can cover our betting cards here real quick to end the show. I have the aforementioned Patrick Rogers, 125-1. Taylor Moore, Mackenzie Hughes, Grayson Sigg, Denny McCarthy, your guy, and Niklas Højgaard, 66-1. I love a good Scandinavian golfer. I can never say no to them.
Yeah, and he's shortened to 41, actually, at FanDuel now. So that's you got some good value on that one for sure. I think the guy that stood out most to me is Louis Westhuizen, the outright, is 20-1 right now over at FanDuel Sportsbook. I think that's a good number just because I think that the quality of golfer that he is, which you alluded to, is better than a lot of the field. So I like that a lot. And then as far as, like, top 10 bets, Patrick Reed is 8-1 at FanDuel. Still skeptical that he's, like, back, quote-unquote, back to what he was before his sickness, but 8-1 for a top 10 versus, you know, much shorter odds than other books, I think that that is enough where I can be like, okay, may not be fully healthy, but could do enough to get a top 10. So to me, those are the things that stand out. Westhuizen for the outright, Patrick Reed for the top 10, based on the odds over at FanDuel.
Well, there we go, guys. We have got you up to speed on the Honda Classic this week over on FanDuel. You guys can check out all the amazing work that Jim is doing over on NumberFire. You can build lineups using our projections over on Daily Roto. You can place bets. You can tail our bets over on the FanDuel Sportsbook if you would like. So thank you to Jim for hopping on. I will be rejoined by Craig Mish here in a second as we get to everyone's favorite game on broadcast television, Fantasy Reality. See you all back here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We're about to dive into the NFBC average draft position in fantasy baseball. We're going to go over some key names, I believe, from 50 to 100 in drafts that have been completed. We'll ask you, and we'll ask Davis if these players are being drafted too high or too low. But also here at Sports Grid, we're very interactive. And we want to know from you, we want to hear from you about some of the things that we can do better. We're constantly trying to improve the experience and provide our listeners and viewers and users of our products. Best way to do that, by the way, is to get it from you guys, listeners like you, viewers like you. We'd very much appreciate you taking a brief survey, and here's how you do it. Survey.sportsgrid.com. That's survey.sportsgrid.com. Want to hear from you. Your feedback will help us improve our programming and also shape what we create next. Once again, that's survey.sportsgrid.com. We truly appreciate your time. And as always, thanks for listening. And thanks for also watching us here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today. All right, Davis, my Raz Bowl is underway. Or my Raz Slam, I should say. My Raz Slam is underway. I believe I got like four picks in. Of course, I got my Real Muto again. No doubt about that. Shane Bieber, Mike Trout. I'm still building my team. Next week, we'll come back on the show. I'll have like a full team to talk about. But for right now, I'm in the thick of it.
All right. Well, I am. I'm excited to hear about it. Excited to hear that you got Mike Trout. That he's probably one of the more interesting guys to talk about. You know, basically the best player in baseball for the last decade, and has seen his ADP tumble quite a bit with you know the injury stuff that he's been dealing with the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I mean, not the first pick, not the second pick, not the third pick. At some point, I mean, like, it's Mike Trout. I might have the eighth pick. I got to pull the trigger on that. All right, well, one player that I haven't gotten yet and seems to be just moving higher and higher and higher up draft boards is Wander Franco of the Tampa Bay Rays, the hot name in fantasy baseball this season, without question. But yet his ADP is still around the fifth round, 54.99, so about 55 overall. He had that huge on-base streak last year of 43 games. His OBP for a rookie, outstanding, 347, home runs 7, RBI 39. 2 stolen bases, so don't think he's going to be stealing much. But Davis, naturally, he's the hot name. Everyone wants to predict who the next guy is going to be in fantasy. And clearly, Tampa Bay moving Willy Adames out, moving Wander Franco in. You would expect 550 plate appearances. The question is it a sophomore slump? Is this a superstar? Wander Franco at 54.99. Too high, too low, just right.
Now, I think this is right about right. The concern I would have is that Wander Franco is a way better real baseball player than he is a fantasy baseball player, which is sort of interesting because we don't see this happen all that often in fantasy sports where players' values are so separate from what they provide on field, right? Because the idea behind the game is that it represents who's good at the sport and so on and so forth. But Wander Franco last year, 347 OBP, 288 batting average, didn't strike out hardly at all. His 12% K rate amongst everyday major leaguers that is really elite in baseball right now. Switch hitter, good defender, but 308 plate appearances, 7 home runs, and 2 steals. The most optimistic projections on him, don't even have him close to a 2020 guy. The most optimistic projection available right now has him for 19 home runs and 10 steals. And I think if you got 10 steals, you would probably be doing cartwheels. And so if he's not going to have a great power tool and he's not going to steal, isn't he just basically Michael Brantley, but you have to pay 100 picks higher for him? Now, again, I could be wrong because I think last season could definitely represent his floor. And again, you're feeling very good about the batting average, very good about the runs, about the RBIs. But I do worry that he just lacks in kind of those counting categories, even though obviously he's so good at the plate.
Yeah, I think that the analysis there is fair. I think where he gets a big bump are leagues that have OBP. I don't think there's any doubt that the best has yet to come there. Like, I could see him, Davis. I mean, Lovato's strong, okay? I'm not going to go Votto. But I could see him being top 3 in the American League in OBP, which is a game changer, but it just depends on your league. And that's what's important based on what they go by. And obviously the NFBC, depending on the categories, I mean, I believe NFBC is batting average, correct? That's what it goes by?
Correct. Yeah, batting average.
Right. So the NFBC mark is good. I would tell you that if this was an OBP league, you got to move them up at least 10 spots. That's what I would do. And I think that applies to anybody that you are on top of OBP. I think you and I agree. We would love to see OBP instead of batting average, but provided the league, that's the difference. All right, now, one of the big surprises in all of last year, the pitcher that basically drove the Giants season right through the regular season into the postseason, out of nowhere, Davis, was Logan Webb. 11 wins, 3 losses last season, an ERA just over 3, a whip just over 1, and the K numbers, decent, 158 strikeouts. But let's be real here. Go back and look at Logan Webb's seasons in 2020, 2019, 2018. You're not going to see anything that's representative of an ace-type pitcher, but the Giants, essentially, it looks like, are willing to start Logan Webb opening day, hope that they get the same success that they got from him last year. The park certainly will help him a little bit, but can he do what he did last year? His ADP right now is 62, so he's essentially SP2 on all of the teams in the RAS-LAM right now.
Yeah, this is, I can't be drafting guys like this. We talked about Freddy Peralta yesterday, kind of going in this similar range. I'm much more willing to take a shot on a guy in a one-year sample if that one-year sample came with a really good K rate. And what we see with Logan Webb is, a 26% K rate at this time in Major League Baseball, that's below average. And that feels crazy because, 10 years ago, 26% K rate, and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy, he's going to strike out a guy per inning. I got to get this guy on my team. And now we look at a guy striking out a guy per, a batter per inning, and we're like, well, you know, what else can you do for me? And Webb is definitely going to benefit from the division that he plays in, right? Not only does he get to pitch at AT&T, but he gets to pitch at Petco. He gets to pitch at, the Dodger Stadium, just like lots of very pitcher-friendly environments. In fact, they even remodeled the Diamondbacks Park to make it more pitcher-friendly. I can't do it, though. I mean, and I know starting pitching gets so pushed up in the NFBC, which is why he is going right. So high. You know, like in your 12-team league with your buddies on ESPN or whatever, I bet he goes 40 picks lower in some leagues like that. But I cannot pay this price on the NFBC for a guy who's going to get one strikeout per inning, basically.
Yeah, and look, not a ton of a track record in terms of being a prospect, yes. But the major league numbers didn't look anything like this until last year. Who knows? Giants bullpen, by the way, out of this world. Probably going to be the best bullpen in baseball, I think, again, in 2022. Their seventh, eighth, and ninth guys are really, really tough to hit. All right, speaking of breakouts last season, we saw another one on the offensive side. This may shock a lot of people when you see these numbers from Jorge Polanco, the infielder on the Minnesota Twins. Qualifies at second base and short, primarily a second baseman. His ADP... yes, this is seventh, eighth, ninth round for Jorge Polanco. Why? 33 home runs for Polanco last year. 98 runs driven in and 11 stolen bases. Now, his OBP is never going to be great, 32% last season. But Davis, a swing change for Polanco, approach change for Polanco, has him looking like that Bomba Squad, like the old Nelson Cruz, like Miguel Sano. Like, I mean, this was just sort of, I mean, he was better than Max Kepler, all-star last year in Jorge Polanco. So can he build on this in 2022? Can he even repeat these numbers? Because a lot of things stand out here more than anything else, too, on top of those home runs. Look at the guys who were in front of him on base, 98 runs driven in. Some people think Polanco's going to be the next Lindor. Some people think it was a one-hit wonder. His ADP is 81 overall.
Yeah, I mean, there is precious little in Jorge Polanco's, you know, prospect profile to suggest that this is who he is. He has been basically on a major league roster since 2016 and played for the first time in 2014. Now, age 27, 28, 29, those are like prime years for baseball players. It's a little bit different. I think we get so used to, you know, in the NFL, prime age is like 23, 24, kind of the same thing for the NBA. We're kind of thinking about these guys being at their athletic peak at that age. But baseball, I mean, you can be in your prime age at 29, 30 years old. These are also the sorts of guys that projection systems have the hardest time with when it's something mechanical that changes with how, you know, what does Zips know about Jorge Polanco's, launch angle or whatever his batting coach is telling him to do differently. So for example, Zips has him for 7 fewer home runs than he had last season and the same amount of stolen bases. The projections, you know, considering that he is a swing change guy, are actually pretty bullish. And I think that's probably due to a little bit of the ballpark and the lineup that he plays in, you know, like a lot. Now, so the home ballpark he plays in is not great, but a lot of those American League Central stadiums are friendly for home runs. I am probably in on him just because a middle infielder who can hit 30 home runs, like 30 and 10 for a middle infielder at that price, is pretty valuable, I think.
Yeah, another player who went a lot higher, obviously, off the year that he had last year, and we had never seen the power, was Marcus Semien. And yeah. Obviously, Semien signed a big free agent contract before the shutdown. And so, some people are like, well, you could take Polanco 30 picks later and get the same guy, maybe a few less home runs. I mean, if you believe that Polanco can be that next Semien and maybe even get those stolen bases, then there certainly is a chance of that. So interesting conversation there. Tomorrow on the show, we'll lead off by talking about the Astros' Alex Bregman, whose ADP has just fallen off a cliff in 2022. Is that legit? We'll tell you tomorrow. Coming up next, it's time for a little fantasy or reality here on the show. So stay on the sports grid. This is Craig Mish, Davis Matic, Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back.
We got Fantasy Reality coming up. Brett Levy standing by with some hot questions for today here on the show. Davis, before we get to that real quick, really interesting. J.J. Redick, former teammate of Zion Williamson, who's now a broadcaster, of course, while, you know, players are playing, they're not going to make these sort of comments. But I guess Redick, you know, essentially, you know, has great things to say about the ability of Zion Williamson, but didn't exactly say that he was the best teammate. There's now some stuff coming out about how he's just basically not engaged with the team at all, working out on his own. We obviously know that he hasn't played. I mean, has it been a year? Probably a year. You know, and these are things that when Greg Oden, it's interesting because they make these comparisons to Greg Oden, but when Greg Oden was a rookie, Davis, yeah, there was still the internet, you know, but there wasn't this sort of talking point to really know exactly what was going on. I feel like we get the minutiae of every player now, and I'm not ready yet to throw an Oden on Zion Williamson, but I got to tell you, man, like, this guy misses all of next year too. Maybe some of the things Redick is saying are true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to throw that stuff on Zion, because it's just hard as a big guy to stay healthy in general. You got to work very hard on staying healthy. Zion hasn't. I mean, we've heard that, like, people have said on the record, you know, like on Zach Lowe's podcast and stuff, that they've heard he is not attacking his rehab with the ferocity that maybe would be expected. And the specific thing that Redick was talking about was that he didn't reach out to CJ McCollum when McCollum got traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. And I mean, that is a huge red flag, because you don't make this trade, you know, as the New Orleans Pelicans for McCollum, unless you are thinking McCollum and Zion Williamson are going to be like our two guys. We're going to make the playoffs next year when Zion's healthy. And if Zion can't be bothered to like send CJ McCollum a text and be like, hey dude, you know, excited to play with you, let's win some games next year when I'm good to go. Like that, it's like you get a new coworker, you want to be welcoming to them, right? Especially when the coworker is brought in for you.
Right. Yeah. Now, we'll see what happens. I guess that's the best we can go with Zion at this point, but missed a lot of time. All right, let's turn it over to Brett, standing by with some fantasy or reality.
All right, guys. Well, we've spoken about the incident a lot this week, but Juwan Howard, at the end of the last game, Michigan and Wisconsin played, there was a little scuffle. Juwan Howard has since been suspended for 5 games. Michigan is back on the court tonight against Rutgers with Phil Martelli as head coach. So, Davis, we'll start with you. Michigan will win tonight without Juwan Howard. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So, the way I would analyze the situation, I don't know who Michigan's assistant coaches are. I don't know what Juwan Howard's responsibility in terms of calling plays and things like that.
All right, I'll take over here for just a sec as Davis alters his mic. You know what? I will go first here, and then by the time I'm done, we'll get that sorted out. Okay, so the question was, Michigan will win tonight without Juwan Howard. I believe they are 5.5-point underdogs against Rutgers tonight. And if you have followed us all season long for football, we know this. When there's an issue with the coach, he gets fired, he leaves, he's not there, there's an alternate, there is that coaching bump for the other team. This is reality. Tonight, Michigan is going to rally under the circumstances. They're going to have some pregame speech where Martelli's going to come in. He's going to say, you got to win it for Juwan Howard. You got to win it for coach. So what's going to happen? Tonight, Michigan is going to beat Rutgers, and then they're going to lose like every game the rest of the season. But they're going to get that one game bump. So take the 5.5 and the money line. Michigan wins tonight.
Well, I mean, I think you're probably right, Craig, because I just, this is how I would evaluate a college basketball situation. I would go over to KenPom.com and I would.
All right, Davis, we're going to have to get your mic fixed here. So let's do this, Brett. You and I will play a little game of fantasy or reality. And so I said reality, Michigan will win tonight without Juwan Howard. Brett, obviously, this was your question. So what do you say? Do you say that they win tonight? Fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think Michigan gets it done tonight, Craig. Look, this is a big game for Michigan. They have their backs up against the wall for the NCAA tournament. And yeah, I think they want to prove that it's not just Juwan Howard, that this team is ready to go. And they've got their coaches back. Phil Martelli, a really good coach at St. Joe's for a number of years. So he has experience. This is not a first-time head coach on the bench. So yeah, I think Michigan can get it done at home. And it's, you know, a home game, Craig, so that helps out as well.
All right, so let's move on to our second question, Brett. And since you are, you know, sitting there with me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the next round. Fantasy or reality, Jarvis Landry, who has had all kinds of Twitter beef the last, what, 24, 48 hours. The Browns didn't want me. They don't want to talk to me. I mean, who in the world knows? When these guys get epiphanies in the middle of the night, got to stay away from social media. But fantasy or reality, Brett, Jarvis Landry will be back with the Browns in 2022. You go first.
I think this one's a fantasy, Craig. It does not appear that this is going to be a relationship that lasts. Jarvis Landry yesterday with all those comments saying about how he wants to be a Brown, but the ball's in their court and he's not going to restructure. So they're paying Jarvis Landry a lot of money, Craig. He's been oft injured for the Browns. This is a team that wants to run the football as well. They have questions at the quarterback spot. So I think this is a fantasy. Jarvis Landry will not be back with the Browns in 2022. Craig, what do you think?
Well, I got to tell you, this is pretty easy for me because if you remember, this was very, very similar to what happened in Miami when he was a member of the Dolphins. And by the way, when he was with the Dolphins at the level that he was there, I mean, this was going back 4 or 5 years ago. There were thoughts that Jarvis Landry was going to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL. Now, he's had a really good career. Let's not take anything away from him. Given the quarterback situation in Cleveland, he's probably got some beef. But here's what happens. This time of the year, is it a crucial situation to make a decision by the Browns? No. But you know darn well, old man darn well, that the Browns have already probably talked to his agent, and you know the agent is going to Jarvis Landry, here's the deal, they want you to do this. And instead of Landry just saying nothing, essentially, and saying, okay, this is what I want to do, let's handle it privately, what do these guys do? They take to social media and ruin any chance they have to get it done. So this is a reality. Browns are going to look at it and go, oh, beautiful, Jarvis Landry gave us the way out here. Let's just go ahead. He went public with this. Let's just go ahead, cut off any talks, move on. So I do think this, Brett, is a reality. All right, so you're going to have to do this last one here because, you know, I'm not familiar with where you got this one, Brett. So go ahead and I'll answer the question, but you ask it.
All right, no problem at all. Well, Craig, there's a pretty popular Hollywood couple right now from the latest Spider-Man movie, Tom Holland and Zendaya. Zendaya also in that Euphoria show we spoke about here the other day. So look, these two are two of the brightest young stars in Hollywood. And allegedly, Mark Wahlberg gave Tom Holland some dating advice. So Craig, we'll start with you. If you had the opportunity to sit down with Mark Wahlberg, you would take dating advice from Mark Wahlberg. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, so unfortunately for the three of us here on the show, for me and Brett and even for Davis, we no longer, I don't think we, I mean, I know that I don't need dating advice anymore. I mean, I'm hopeful Brett is getting married, no longer needs it. And I'm pretty sure that Davis is never going to need it again, too. We're going to have to force him to get married sometime in the next 10 years. So we won't necessarily need it from anybody. As far as it coming from Mark Wahlberg, well, look, you got to look at it like this. You know, Wahlberg has been through it. Let's not forget, before you guys, you know, were even paying attention, Mark Wahlberg was Marky Mark, and he had the Funky Bunch with him, and he was a rapper, he was a star, he was performing. So I'm guessing that between him and his brother Donnie, they have seen it all over the course of their lives, and he could probably speak to two young kids like Zendaya and like Tom Holland as well. And although I'm not completely familiar with Tom Holland's work, I know he was in Spider-Man or something like that. Zendaya goes back to Disney shows that she was on because my daughter used to watch that too. So I'm aware of who these people are. I'm also aware of that show. Long story short, the answer is yes. The answer is reality. Somebody who's been through it, somebody who has actually been a celebrity at the highest level, and Mark Wahlberg has been, believe it or not, when he was singing, and he had his, I guess, his couple of hits that he had on his one album, maybe he had two, I don't know. He was a huge star at that time. So yeah, I think that it's fair to go ahead and get advice from somebody who's been in that. Now, it may not apply to me in this case, Brett, and I'm not sure it'll apply to you, but if somebody can give me advice after living the life that guy has lived, I am going to take it. So I will say reality. How about you?
Yeah, Craig. Well, first of all, I'm going to surprise you, and I know the song Good Vibrations. So
there you go.
There you go. Yeah, I at least know one of the hits. And yeah, I'm a big Mark Wahlberg fan. I love a lot of his movies. So I would absolutely love the opportunity to sit down with Mark Wahlberg, talk about life, get some dating advice. You know, I'd probably talk a lot more than just dating advice with Mark Wahlberg. I'd love to hear some stories. So yeah, I would definitely take him up on this opportunity. And look, we're talking about it today because obviously people are interested in Tom Holland and Zendaya. So this was a news story yesterday that, maybe they wouldn't have gotten together without Mark Wahlberg, you know, stepping up and helping out, giving them some dating advice. So, you know, Mark Wahlberg, super couple power broker as well. Add that on his credentials.
Yeah, I guess so. When I think now of Mark Wahlberg, I think of all of course, the movies that he's been in. And I feel like, not so much on the streaming devices, but I feel like when I'm watching, I guess DirecTV is my carrier. I feel like when I'm watching DirecTV and they give you all the options for the movies, I don't pay for all of them anymore. I still pay for HBO because I like HBO. I feel like there's always some Mark Wahlberg movie on one of the channels, HBO, Showtime, Cinemax. I don't know what else they have. Movie channel. Do they still have a movie channel? I'm not sure. I think, regardless of it, I think that taking advice from somebody in life that has been through something similar is a really good idea. You don't have to execute the advice. I think that's where people get confused, is that it's always good to listen and sort of soak it in. But it doesn't mean that you have to execute the advice. The only thing that's troubling is that when you give somebody good advice and then they choose not to take it, yeah, I mean, in the end, you kind of feel like you wasted a little bit of your time. But being as familiar as I am with these two, I think that that's, you know, sort of the direction that I'll go with it. So thank you for that, Brett, with the fantasy of reality. And coming up, we'll have a little discussion with the Sports Grid 60. We'll get Davis back in here as we wrap up the show today. As a reminder, we got a lot of great programming coming up for you next. We got Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside standing by, top of the hour, 1 o'clock Eastern. They're going to roll till 3. And then Scott Farrell's show, Coast to Coast, is now 3 hours every single day. So all you got to do is just stick right here on Sports Grid from 3 to 6 Eastern. We got some wonderful things planned, by the way. I know it seems like the month of February is a little slow, but March Madness is almost upon us. We are going to be in-game live Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the NCAA tournament, play-in games. We got it all covered for you. Hopefully the start of the baseball season as well. So stay on the grid as we got the Sports Grid 60 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Our first NASCAR preview coming up a little bit later this week as Jim Sannis will join us on Friday. We'll have updates tomorrow, a little fantasy baseball discussion. Hopefully we get closer to a deal with Major League Baseball and the players as they are meeting right now in Jupiter, Florida. Let's turn it over to Davis for the Sports Grid 60.
So as I was talking about a little bit earlier, I do actually think we are on pace to have potentially our most interesting NBA playoffs since before the time where LeBron James and the Golden State Warriors sort of lorded over everyone. Right now, the teams that are favored to win the NBA championship are the Brooklyn Nets, who are, I believe, the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, might even slip in to the play-in, depending on the availability of Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant. Then we have the Phoenix Suns, who, let's be honest, no one believes. I don't believe in them. I don't even know if the Phoenix Suns believe in themselves as a true title contender. You know, they make the finals last year, and every team they played against suffered a major injury in the playoffs. So I just am I am hoping, and I know that baseball is going to be back soon, but I hope that we don't forget about our NBA playoff races here on the show.
I doubt we will. And I'm also not so certain that the players and owners don't blow through this date on the 28th as being the drop dead date for the regular season. By the way, so bizarre yesterday seeing Max Scherzer sign Mets jerseys through the Roger Dean Stadium gate to see that actually happening. Baseball has to figure out, by the way, one thing that we haven't talked about is what's the makeup to the fans right now? Because that's got to be coming soon. You can't just expect just everything to be okay the second that baseball is back. I have a feeling that some free spring training games are coming our way. And at least that would be some sort of token of you know, depreciation as to what we've gone through over the last 2 months with this. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to LTN Parker over there. Great job. Of course, thank you to Danny and Ryan and for Brett Levy and Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. We'll see you tomorrow here at noon.